from NowVeryBad.com. A special bonus episode of Now Very Beast, Iron Maiden, the next 10 years. Hey there, welcome back. It is August 31st, 2021, Basher's birthday. So I thought I'd do a Basher's birthday bonus episode. You can figure out better alliteration. I don't know. But I figured I'd just do a quick one. Let you know what I'm thinking about today. Because I wanted to spend a minute going over something that was one of the first ideas I had when I thought about doing a show. One of the behind the scenes kind of stories that I was desperate to get to because I just thought it was really funny and dorky and wonderful was Maiden Roulette. And this is something that maybe other people can sort of imagine this or have their own memories of doing something like this. But this has to do with CD changers, compact disc changers. So if you don't know what that is, you're already going to get lost in this story if you're too modern for that sort of thing. But it's just a quick story about the kind of fun you can only have at a particular point in your life and with a particular piece of technology that will later become almost completely useless to you. But this was Maiden Roulette, which never had that official name there. This was just like this unbelievably dorky thing that I'm sort of slightly embarrassed and slightly proud to say that we took incredible joy in this. And I got to preface it by saying we were in high school, didn't drive yet. Okay. So put that out there. Nobody was partnered up. Nobody had girlfriends or whatever. But what we did have was an inexhaustible love for Maiden and Metallica and AC/DC, these bands we would listen to like all the time. And this was like one of the best ways to listen to those bands because John had a CD player. You know, John always liked a little of the best of things. You know, later in his life, it would get him into a little bit of trouble that he had sort of expensive tastes. But he had this pretty crap stereo. I think I talked about this stereo before. He had a stereo that wasn't anything to write home about, but he had a really good CD player. And it was like a Pioneer or something. It had a five or six disc changer. I never couldn't quite remember which one it was. But if you don't remember CDs or whatever, generally these things just had, you know, one when you had a rack mounted or, you know, basic stereo equipment piece of a CD player, usually just had the one tray. And then if you had a boombox or something like that, you might have a 3 to a 5 disc change or whatever. It usually would spin around on a turntable of sorts. But these were different. This was the size of a usual stereo component. And there was this cartridge. You'd pull out this cartridge and inside it would have these little drawers, sort of like, you know, the CD-ROM drawers that you would later get in your computers. And they would just sort of slot into place. So you'd load it up with 5 or 6 discs, and then you just sort of plug the cartridge thing in. And you could play everything in a row, or you could play it on shuffle. And when you would do that, you'd say, okay, well, I'm going to shuffle all the songs on this disc, or I'm going to shuffle from all 5 or 6 discs at the same time, or, you know, program it, all sorts of stuff that you would probably would never bother to do. Unless, of course, you lived in a time before digital files and you actually would take the time to program the thing and say, okay, I want you to play disc 1, then disc 4, then disc 2, that kind of stuff. It was usually much easier to just, you know, put the discs in the order that you wanted them and just say, just play the whole damn thing. And so that way, particularly if you were into a band like these, where you had 5 or 6 albums, you could listen to their whole catalog if you had that kind of time, which we did because we didn't have anything particularly much going on at that point. So This is something, and I know I'm not the only one who did this with him, right? Because this was his idea, and it was really funny. So I'm sure that my other friends remember going in there. You'd load the thing up. So we would primarily do this with Maiden because it was made for the most interesting conversation piece. You'd put in all the records, or you'd have all the CDs that would fit in there at that time. So I mentioned before, Maiden started and ended with Bruce Dickinson as far as John was concerned. So we certainly would not have put in the debut album or Killers. So we would definitely have, Number of the Beast, Peace of Mind. We would have Power Slave, Somewhere in Time. I think generally we'd put Live After Death in there. I'm sorry, we'd put Seventh Son. So it must have been at least six trays. Because I know we would put that in there. I think by the time that No Prayer for the Dying came out, I don't think we did this anymore. We were driving around and would have listened to the music in the car. So I think we probably had Live After Death, because like most of us, he probably considered Live After Death just another record. It was just another album of theirs, even though it was live, because it was just so important. But regardless, whether we put Live After Death in or not, you'd have at least the five studio albums that were out at that point. Put them in there. And you would say, all right, shuffle. And so all of a sudden, the thing would start shuffling the discs. And you could actually hear it. It wasn't like hitting shuffle with digital files. You could actually hear it going ta 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 as it was trying to sort of select the discs that it was going to put on there. And I believe that you could see on the outside of the cartridge, you could see which disc it was selecting. So it was really funny because you actually got two cracks at guessing what the song was going to be. It was going to play one tune for you. So you first had to guess like which album is going to come out, which of these records is it going to pick? And so we'd be like, oh no, it's going to be Peace of Mind. I'm telling you, Peace of Mind. No, it keeps playing Peace of Mind. It's going to pick something off of Seventh Son this time, definitely. So, really sort of just complete guesswork, it's just like playing any kind of roulette, really. And once it had picked it, so you'd be watching the little light or whatever that was on the cartridge, and go, oh, it's four, damn it. Oh, I could have sworn it was going to be Seventh Son. Ha ha, you're wrong. All right, fun and whatever. All right, so it's Power Slave. Great. Then you'd try and guess which track was going to be, and it would do that faster, because now it didn't have to actually shuttle a new CD in there. So now you'd know you only had a second to pick one of the generally eight tracks. It seemed like all their records were about that long at that point, and guess on that. And this might sound like really boring, but I assure you, it was not. It was actually a lot of fun, and I really kind of would love to be able to still do that, because there's just a beautiful simplicity to this, because it only works if you know those albums cold. Isn't really a fun game unless you know what each album, the sequencing of every album, which tracks are on which record, what order they're in, and what's sort of, likely to come up there. And it really gets you to know the catalog really inside and out. And I think that that's something, the reason that I'm sort of talking about this and, what it's sort of a silly thing is that we've definitely lost a bit of that. I think that that would be a little harder. I mean, first off, physically shuffling the CDs takes a little bit of time, and that's what makes the whole thing possible. If it was an instant choice, there'd be nothing to talk about. There'd be no time to argue about it or joke about it, but most importantly, there'd be no time to anticipate it, to try and think what's what's going to be coming up next. You know, so doing that deep dive, you probably don't do that anymore. It kind of makes it more special to you, particularly, you know, at that age and when you're that invested in the tunes. It's really kind of a great thing to anticipate these tunes, and when you know them so well. And that just kind of goes away, you know? I'm not going to be, you know, the first person or the last person to say, oh, you know, we all knew these albums better when we had CDs, or we knew them better when we had vinyl, or we knew them better when there was album-oriented rock, or we knew them better because blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not going to be old man yelling at cloud. Well, actually, I'm quite obviously old man yelling at cloud quite a bit of the time. But, you know, because people sort of bitch and moan about, you know, oh, well, you know, this lack of understanding the importance of albums or having that identification, you know, that's an aspect of the digital age, or that's an aspect of the streaming age. Or maybe back then they used to complain when it got away from vinyl, went to CDs, and people were starting to be able to shuffle things or listen to tracks out of order or skip things. They say, oh, well, that's a part of the CD age. You know, so old man yelling with cloud is not a new thing. Say that all of this is about this age or that age. You know what? It's really just about old age, honestly, because there's a point in your life when you're in your teens where you know all the music that you love so well. You know all the little intricacies. You know all the words to it. You know everything about the artwork. You just know everything about this. And maybe a couple years later, even if it's the same band, even if you're still crazy about them, you just don't have that same kind of relationship with the music. And it's largely just that you're busy. I mean, you have more albums from it at that point. You know, your collection's much fuller, so you don't know everything that you own quite as well. But I think that largely it's just you don't get as invested into it. You have other things to do, and you don't have that time. And time is really the whole point of this silly, dorky little game, is that you could physically hold these things and look at them. But that I don't think that was the important part. The important part was you had time to anticipate. You had the time to know this music and the time to care about this music, and you had the time to talk about it. And so I just kind of, in some ways, do actually miss that the time of these dorky kids. You know, I don't bemoan anything or wish, oh, that things were different or the way they were, or whatever. None of that crap. But I would love for just a day to be a fly on the wall, you know, just for an afternoon, get to see these dorky kids sitting in this bedroom having Diet Cokes and God knows what only garbage we were eating, and just saying, no, dude, you're crazy. Power Slave's coming up. No, no way, man. It's Beast. Absolutely. I think Hallowed's coming on next. That would just be incredibly amusing to me. So on this day, I'm thinking about my friend, and I have a big old smile on my face because I'm just remembering what those days were, and I was just lucky to have them. So take care, everybody. And John, I'm thinking about you now.